The following podcast is not recommended for listeners under 18 because the words f***, sh*t, m*** and a*** may crop up with an alarming frequency.
Hi, this is Dan Kovacevic, columnist at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and I listen to the Rum Bunker podcast. The work you're doing now, I loved when you were on the beat. Don't get me wrong. I haven't been on PG Plus maybe twice since you left. But
well, that's two more times than I've been on.
that's two more. Me too.
Well, no, I don't even say that like in a nasty
right.
way or anything.
Right.
I actually didn't, you know, I never had, and none of the employees had a subscription. So
oh,
when I left, I was going to...
Good Lord.
I was going to either have to get a subscription or not. And the truth is, the way I've always worked, this includes when I was there, is I don't really read all that much that anybody else does.
You can.
Well, actually, in the newspaper business, it's pretty much status quo that you do.
Oh.
And I've found that
wow.
it just inhibits your thinking. It inhibits
yeah.
your ideas.
Right.
That's
what was always impressive about your work was I wanted to pay for the first time in my life because of what you produce. It was original. I mean, even today, like the Kiss reference. I mean, all the things that you do are always that way. And for a blogger like me, a lot of original, try to be stupid, be the comics page, whatever you want to call what we do.
Hey, we work hard at being
yeah.
at jackasses.
Spit out the pepperoni roll, but it just seems again like you're just rolling that into the Tribune. Is there anything cool or anything exciting that maybe you could share with us and the listeners about what's going on in your world?
Well, yeah. First of all, thanks. That's really nice. You know, what's funny when you remember the old Pirates blog,
awesome.
The original PBC blog that was
yeah.
on the, you know, when it was free and it moved over to the pay site, I can tell you now that our subscriptions for PG Plus went through the roof on the first day,
mm.
you know, like on the day that it was announced before we were actually even over there. So there were a lot of people that were interested in what that was. And one of the reasons that I always made sure to distinguish between whatever I was doing and whatever independent bloggers like yourselves have done is that they're really not the same thing in the sense that I was, if you think about what the old PBC blog was, it was 80% of it was just flat out news. I mean, it would just be, now it could have been the driest, most minuscule possible news, but it, you know, it'd be something like, you know, it's raining 5 minutes before batting practice. Update 5:37 p.m.
Yeah,
but people knew it was there.
Die Hard. That's freaking great. Oh no!
You know what though? But people, I think what it was with that blog is that people knew that it was there.
Yeah,
they knew it was there constantly, and they knew that if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's a game in San Diego, and it's late September, I was still going to be on there.
Yeah, you're going to be on there, and a lot of times on the radio broadcast when it's out west, they don't have anything, you know.
Yeah.
And I know like Rocco and some of the David Todd, you know, sometimes they just don't do that. But it was always there for Pirate fans.
You know, at the same time, you know, I've gone over in print again and again and again as to why the you know the beat thing was, you know, wasn't something that I was going to do forever, and really the nature of the way those things are now, it's not the same job, guys. It's not the same job as it was 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. You're expected to be on stuff. Expected is the operative term. You're expected to be on top of things literally around the clock. Kyle McPherson is pulled out of the game after 2 1/3 innings in Altoona.
Mm-hmm.
People are emailing you right away. What's up with Kyle McPherson? And you're thinking, you know what? I just put in 11 hours today. The Pirates play the day game. I'm done. But yet you can't. You still feel obligated. So it's still, all right. So I email Kyle Stark, find out Kyle McPherson. Nothing's wrong with him. All right, okay. Update, Kyle McPherson. Nothing wrong with him.
Wow.
So that's it's more. You know, people were talking about the travel. I'm actually doing more travel with the Trib now in this job than I did it, on the Pirates beat.
Right.
Been all over the place. I mean, I'm doing all 16 Steelers games and all kinds of stuff. It never was about the travel.
Right.
Baseball travel is actually one of the easier things you can do because at least when you get somewhere, you can take your toothbrush out of the bag and stay for a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah, you're there for a while.
The second week of October, where I'm going to be in Winnipeg one night, St. Paul, Minnesota the next night, and Phoenix the day after that.
Mm.
A baseball travel's a picnic next to that.
Yeah.
But I go to your actual question, the website's going to get it's going to change a lot. The Trib's website within the next 2 or 3 months, something like that. And by that change, I mean total overhaul. It's not even going to be the same platform, the same anything.
Mm.
There's going to be, along with that, related blogging platforms and stuff like that. And as you guys know, anytime you introduce any kind of new thing, it takes a while to get it all sorted out.
Right.
But what's going to be fun about that is that the Trib, unlike really, I think, any other paper in the country, has, you've heard the term Trib Total Media, they have a lot of different platforms, including this, the live radio, streaming radio,
Yeah. Which,
again, I don't think anybody else in the country is doing. And if you have a website that's current, modern, and everything else, you're able to hook all that stuff together. So I don't know where that's going to take us. I really don't. I think that's one of the things you have to play by ear. I've heard people say blogs are dead.
Oh, yeah. That was the topic.
Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah. It's a topic of blogs with balls. It just wrapped up this weekend, and they handed out all the awards to ESPN blogs, different things. So it's
did
very
did
awkward,
we win anything?
But yeah, I've definitely heard that.
Did we win anything?
What you find is that like now, one of the things is when I put stuff on Twitter, I tweeted something a couple hours ago that told everybody, basically whatever my Steelers column is going to be for tomorrow, and you'll find that even if you put a link there, they won't click it. What they'll do is they'll comment on your intro to the link.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you say that so-and-so did that or whatever. Whoa, did you even read it?
Right, right.
So,
yeah, even Twitter is
that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I think people are afraid to leave their little Twitter shelters once they're in there.
Right. Yeah, if
they want everything on there and not anywhere else. They're not interested in opening up another browser.
Right. And I think as the phone technology catches up to Twitter, I think that will change so that you can technically have your Twitter account open on one. And because people that are following more than a few hundred people, it's a challenge. So there's definitely some technology that needs to be worked out there.
The iPad has it down. The iPad is good, at least mine. When you follow the Twitter on iPad and you do open up a link, it keeps you there.
Oh, that's
sweet. It opens up the link. It's nice. The phone, there's no answers for it.
Right.
There might be at some point. But my point is that, I'm not 100% sure, like we were all 100% sure just 5 or 6 years ago, that blogs are the thing. I really don't know that they are. One thing that I found in general to be true in media, an editor I used to work for a long time ago named John Craig used to refer to the local newspaper's town hall, meaning where's the place that you know everybody is?
Mm-hmm.
And for about 200 years, that was the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. If you wanted to know what people were thinking, it was either a radio talk show or it was letters to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where is everybody? To go back to the PBC blog, I think for about a good 3 or 4 years, that place was it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
if you weren't there, you felt like you were missing something. And believe me when I tell you, I'm not talking about my content.
Right, right. It was a tavern. It was a spot where people hung out.
It was an organic community in every sense of the term.
And if the Trib can establish that, which it sounds like they're well on the road to doing, it could be the place. I think the one challenge is some people like to swear, some people like to have differing opinions, and you know, we on PBC site we had just some challenges with some people, you know. Nutting hostage, different things like that, being just, you know, jerks on there and taking over and those type of things. But I think once that's figured out, look out.
Yeah, again, I don't know. I just don't know that you're going to see that. I don't know that you're going to see all of a sudden some instantaneous blog-type headquarters, because I really think that all of that's happening on Twitter now. Now, I say that, and I believe that the most recent numbers for Twitter's penetration into civilization is like 8%.
Oh, it's insane. And the speed with which they did so was even more impressive. But I still think you're going to have your
segment.
But
we're still talking about 8%. You know, it's still not a high number.
No, it's not. There's still people that have yet to discover it. I still think you're going to see your segments out there. You're going to see your Bucks dugout are still going to, you know, be the spot. You know, just on game days, those type of things, because you're going to be covering the story. Beer Temple's going to be covering the story. You know, those type of things. But it's awesome that there are that many different areas out there for news, and it's not like that in a lot of cities. You know, for some crazy reason, in our community, we're one of the top each month with a horrible team.
It's with the Pirates in particular are a very strange thing to explain to people.
Yeah.
Again, to go back to the blog at the previous paper, I can tell you that we out-hit the other teams, including the Steelers, by a rate of about 6-1 somewhat. You know, so
it's incredible. It is.
Yeah, and now that tells you a lot about how many. And remember, I mean, the team wasn't exactly good. I'm not talking about this summer when everybody all of a sudden said, "Ooh, I'm a Pirates fan."
Right.
I'm talking about when it was, you know,
yeah,
105 losses, and it's the last week of the season in September, and the only thing you're waiting for is to find out if John Russell's going to get fired or not. that tells you a lot about the following that's out there.
It's all us old people that have time to sit around and write cranky opinion things.
A lot of our stuff is...
One of the things that everybody's going to have to figure out, you know, you were saying, Tom, that you paid for the first time for something, you know, for a news outlet on the Internet. You know, and now the New York Times is charging. And everybody seems kind of okay with that. From what I understand, their numbers are all right. You know, they're the New York Times, a little bit different. But I think more than anything else, I think that everybody has to become comfortable with the idea, if not the cash, that there's something worth getting.
Right.
You know, and I don't know that, and by that I'm not talking about blogs or not blogs behind a paywall.
Right.
I'm talking about, here I'm talking about an entire news site.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
That said, there are more ways to monetize a free site that gets huge hits than a lot of people know. So there is a balancing act to be had there, for sure. And honestly, the next person that I hear in our business, including the like the way upper experts who have conferences on this, who have any idea where it's going, will be the first. There's just no one who knows right now.
Yeah, there's not. But I think that content's the king. The content you provided with Renee Gallo, Charlie Morton, all those things that you put who knows how many hours into, I'll pay for that every day of the week.
Well, you're always going to have, with the Trib, you don't have to. You know, although it's nice if you're a newspaper subscriber, that actually does help. And there's still, for me, there's nothing like seeing that. You know, when you talk about like the some of the bigger feature stories or stuff, whether it's Charlie Morton or the stuff from the Dominican Republic or whatever, the displays that are in the newspaper blow away what you see in online. I mean, there's so many things artistically, there's creative page designers do that add to the presentation, to the graphics, the photographs that are taken. The internet is still very, very limited in that regard. It really is. And the iPad's no answer.
Yeah, I like when you tweet what the graphic's going to be in the morning. That's badass.
Isn't it cool?
I love that.
Does it not change the way you look at the whole, like if there's something like on the Pirates or whatever, okay?
Right.
And you see the big headline out front, and you see, like I think the one last week where I pretty much buried everybody, but the one at the end of the week. About the historic fall.
Got the
information from the Elias Sports Bureau about how that was the worst ever after 100 days.
Yeah, the progress. We're talking progress.
Well, no, we aren't.
No. The actual quote was, the quote many, many times over was, that's not progress.
Yeah.
No, and really, if I'd have known they were going to beat Milwaukee, maybe I wouldn't have been so hard on them. And it's something that Melanie Walsh, who's one of our page designers, she's so talented. She worked the whole afternoon on that. And the big difference between that and what people would see on the internet's just a streaming thing that takes our headlines and whatever and puts it. It's not entirely automated, but it's kind of that.
Yeah.
But you'll see the same thing. Every story looks like a headline and text, headline and text. There's still nothing like the impact. You know, let's put it this way. When you go, have you guys ever been to the Newseum?
Yeah, in D.C., right beside Capitol Grill. What a great spot.
It's unreal. Not just because I'm in the business and been in the business all my life. I could stay in there for, not hours, days.
Yeah.
And there's that wall, that really tall wall. And you know what I'm going to say if you've been there, Tom. So
yeah.
The September 11th.
Yeah.
Newspaper covers from around the world. I should say September 12th.
Yep.
And everything from the San Francisco Examiner's famous, remember the bastards headline with the exclamation point at the end. So probably the most famous one out of that group.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was the only one that looked ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's so powerful. And there's nothing that you can compare that to. Nobody saves a screen freak off the internet.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
And that preservation of history, the presentation of it, is right now, it's still not something that any other medium, including the internet or iPads or anything, can match.
The thing that is interesting is, and you have kids too, my 7-year-old hasn't read a newspaper all year. And I don't know.
Oh, my 10-year-old. Ask me what it means to turn, you know, the jump where you go from the front page to the whatever.
Yeah.
She's lucky in the trib. All of my columns are on page 2 and they don't jump, so it's easy to remember. You just go inside the cup.
Yeah.
But if it gets any more complicated than that, it's different. It is. And everybody has to adjust to it.
Don't you?
There's no question about that. And you know what? I think we are the one thing that, you know, people say things like, they say newspapers are dying, the traditional news media is dead. You know, the Poynter Institute has numbers to back this up. More people right now in the United States are reading newspaper content than ever before.
I can believe that.
Okay. Why is that? Because think about it. In as recently as 20 years ago, if you're printing a newspaper in Pittsburgh, who's seeing it? People in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if Scott Brown writes an article about the Steelers, and the game that they played in Indianapolis, Steeler Nation,
yep.
From everywhere, from Albania to Zimbabwe is going to read this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever they are, nothing stops them from reading it. Your readership goes way, way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think that more people, because the Internet was a cool thing when it came out and it's still a cool thing for kids, I have a feeling more people are engaged in reading than they were when we were kids.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I would definitely agree.
How many times did you say, nobody's reading. Nobody's ever reading. Well, she's right. We weren't.
I'm gonna disagree. I'm gonna disagree.
Who says
there.
That now? What do they say now? Get off your BlackBerry. Get off the iPhone.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I mean, my kids complaining about having to write in cursive, and you know, I gotta agree with them. The last time I wrote in cursive, you know, signed a check like 3 months.
But they're
ago.
Reading, Tom. Right? They're reading.
Oh, he's a machine. He's a machine. But there's nothing. He types. He doesn't print. And he's constantly reading. Constantly reading. I mean, there's nothing
changed
on that.
It's very different. I have a feeling that, you know, when I was a kid and I was reading some of the great Pittsburgh sports writers of the time, I don't know that I had all that many peers doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that today, that when kids, particularly those that follow the Penguins, since they're, you know, their demographic is so young, they know everybody who covers the team. They know everything about them.
Yeah.
And again, that's not something that was in place 20 years ago. So it's just a matter of how do we get it out there. More people than ever are reading what we write, the traditional media. More people than ever. And the blogosphere, the things that we're talking about, don't suffer for it, but neither do they take away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of independent Pirates blogs. The next person that I hear that says, well, we've totally given up on the traditional media because we just read this, will be the first. Who says that? And if they say it, they're lying.
Yeah, all a blog does is read what you say and react to it.
I mean, even the ones, you know, Pirates Prospects is the one where Tim Williams produces a good amount of original content.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very specific. It's on a focused topic. He does it very well. It's still not the complete package. You still won't hear someone say that that's the only thing that they see without ever seeing traditional media. That's my point.
Yeah, traditional can't die. There's it's impossible. There's
all kinds of societal reasons why it can't die.
Yeah.
Believe me, the day that they close down all the newspapers and snap their fingers and that's the end of that is the day a whole lot of your civil liberties and everything else go out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even the Washington Times, who has had their struggles, is still, you know, not going to go away in D.C., no matter what the
person especially says. Every agency that at some point or other stops covering Washington and or foreign things, foreign wars. This is why you pay for the New York Times, because they have X number of reporters in Libya, X number of reporters in Iraq and Afghanistan, getting you real live stories that matter, that make a difference, not just for your reading pleasure, but for your information as a society so that your government doesn't go all corrupt on you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I jump in here and ask you something here, pursuant to what you were speaking about before? You know, you're saying that more people are reading than ever before, but how many of them are comprehending? You know, I'm serious as a fucking heart attack. You know, you pointed out earlier that, you know, how somebody can make a judgment based on, you know, a headline. You know, how many people didn't read that Crosby article? You know, you posted earlier on Twitter, you know, how hard, you know, if you make the slightest mistake, it's so hard to retract it, even if it's moments later. You know, so they,
it's amazing. That's the Twitter thing. That's incredible.
You know, they may be reading.
I wrote something that was kind of, I don't even remember what it was. It was wrong. But this wasn't a news thing or whatever. This was just some thing off the top of my head, but, you know, just a discussion point. And the moment that that's out there, what ends up happening is Joe Blow retweets it, someone else retweets it. And what ends up happening is people start responding to you off the retweet, and they don't see your original timeline.
Of course, and it's
the only
retweeted.
Thing that's out there, and you're an idiot.
And it's retweeted by so many bots and so on and so forth. Of course, but our most valuable.
That's part of it. But as far as comprehension goes, I'll say it again. I still, because just of the sheer bulk, the sheer volume of people that are reading, that it has to be higher than it's been in the past. I think, in general, sports in American society have become a much more intensive experience for fans. Casual fans are always going to be casual fans, but I think you've seen across the spectrum of sports higher attendance, bigger money, bigger TV ratings, everything. People are more invested in their teams. They're married to them. They're obsessed about them. Those people are going to read and they're going to comprehend. I know that over my last 2 years on the Pirates beat or so, that I became really comfortable throwing out things that in the first year I felt the need to explain to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I would just say they non-tendered so-and-so for salary arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what that is, you're probably not interested in reading in this article in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's always going to be an editor who doesn't know that. Right, you got to explain this salary arbitration thing. I said, all right, well, you got to clear out another page for me. But you see what I'm saying? I would hope you guys would agree with this, especially in the time on the baseball beat, haven't treated the readers as if they're novices.
Oh, exactly.
Okay, it's always been, look, you either know who Miguel Sano is,
yep,
or you haven't been reading.
Yeah.
If I have
can't get off Miguel Sano, can you? Can't get off of Miguel.
That's a great one.
You either know who he is or you don't. If you don't, go ahead and Google it and Google my first name, and you'll find the whole saga.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm giving.
I remember that night, and I forget who the guy was, his agent or whatever, was on your blog. I never forget that.
He is still on there. He's on my Facebook page and everything. He's an intense individual. And he still, for some reason, wants to make sure everybody knows that the Pirates made a mistake.